Please open your Bibles to the book of Job, the 9th chapter, in your Schofield Bible, page 575, Job chapter 9. Beginning with the 28th verse, we'll read through verse 35, and these verses we'll read responsively. Job, the 9th chapter, verses 28 through 35, the text verse for this morning's message is the 33rd verse. And as we always do, let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water, make my hands never so clean. Yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so for this service. There will be no other service like it, nor has there ever been. There will be no other collection of people just like this collection of people. Thank you for this hour, because this is a special time. We know thou hast a special work to do in our hearts, in our lives. We sinned against thee if we're not attentive to thy word. Help us to listen. Bless with power thy spirit's fullness to our preacher, in Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody's been showing off a little bit this morning, haven't they? Marie and Mabel. That's my turn. Silent night. Thank you. It reminded me of 11:30. I'm at the evening service. 11:30. And I knew the folks that weren't here would be so sorry that they missed all that extra time we stayed in church tonight. I want to speak today on the subject, who is this babe in the manger? Who is he? 99% of the people that have manger scenes in their front yard haven't got the foggiest idea who he is. 99% of the preachers who preach a Christmas sermon today haven't got the foggiest idea who he is. 99% of all the people who walk in the shopping centers and shop and hear the carols as they come over the loudspeakers don't have the foggiest idea who this babe is. Who is it that Mary brought forth? Who is it that the angels announced when they sang the first Noel to the shepherds watching their flocks by night? Who is it Mary brought forth as her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger? Who is this baby or babe in the manger? You'll let me, if you would please, tell you exactly who he is. Our Heavenly Father, bless the sermon this morning as I do the best I can to describe what Bethlehem is all about. As I do my best to describe what we mean, we sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Help me as I try to explain just who that babe was in the manger. In Jesus' name, amen. Job in chapter 9 finds himself in the condition that you, of which you hear me speak so often. Job finds himself without his wealth. He finds himself without his 10 children. All have been killed in a tragic accident. He finds himself without his health. Every spot of his body is covered with sores. And from those sores, running corruption oozes. He finds himself trying to seek some kind of comfort from the pain of his leprosy by going down to the city garbage dump and sitting down in the embers of the burning garbage. His wife looks at him and sees his condition and says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" One by one, those who were supposedly his best friends come by and offer to him why they think he's suffering. One says, "You have not had enough deep spiritual experiences. God is punishing you for it." Another says, "You've not had enough high hours and what we'd call charismatic experiences, and you're suffering for it." And as Job sits there in the city dump in the ash heap, everything gone, wealth gone, children gone, health gone, wife gone, friends gone, respect for the community gone, everything gone, Job said, "I wish I had one thing. I wish I had somebody that was like God and like me, that could reach out and touch God and explain to God how I feel. And then could come to me and explain to me what God feels and what this is all about." He cries and says, "If I just had a daysman, somebody who understands me, and somebody who understands God, who can explain God to me and explain me to God." Job said, "Oh, that it just had a daysman." Now, what is a daysman? Two lovers quarrel. Someone who loves them both and understands them both comes and brings them back together. A person commits a crime or is accused of a crime. An attorney stands in the courtroom between the jury and the accused, between the accuser and the accused, and stands in the courtroom on behalf of the accused. What is a daysman? A daysman is a Walter and Mrs. Mitsuka coming to the altar. When somebody comes to the altar, they only speak Romanian. But there's somebody here that can speak Romanian and English. And that somebody talks to Romanian in his or her language. And then what we're saying in the English language. What is a daysman? A daysman is a Maxine Jeffries standing back there right now. The deaf cannot hear me, and I cannot communicate to the deaf. So Maxine Jeffries is the daysman. She's standing between the deaf and me, reaching out one hand to me to say, "Give me what you have for them." Reaching out the other hand to the deaf and saying, "This is what I have for you." Now, that's what Bethlehem was all about. Job, the daysman, did come. He who was God and understands God, and he became man so he could understand man. So that little babe in the manger could reach up and say to God, "God, let me tell you how it is to be down here on the earth. Let me explain to you the burdens and the heartaches of man." And goes to man and says, "Let me explain to you the great heart of God." Reaches out with one hand and takes the hand of man that cannot reach to the hand of God. And reaches up with one hand to the hand of God that cannot reach to the hand of man. And holds on to both hands and brings God and man together. That's what happened in Bethlehem. No little baby there who was come to bring peace on earth goodwill to men as far as peace between nations is concerned. But a man, a God man, who has come to bring peace between God and man. There's one mediator, the Bible says, in 2 Timothy 1:5, isn't it? And between God and man, or I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 2:5, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator between God and man, the Virgin Mary, no. There's one mediator between God and man, the Pope in Rome, no. There's one mediator between God and man, the priest, no, no. There's one mediator between God and man, the church, no, no. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He who is the daysman. He who comes to God and says, God, I'm willing to satisfy you as far as man is concerned. And he comes to man and says, I'm willing to satisfy you as far as God is concerned. And he reaches out up to a holy and just God and down to a sinful man and becomes sin like the man and pays the penalty for man. So he reaches up to God and says, God, you can take man back again, and takes the hand of a sinner and the hand of a father and pulls those hands back together. That's the purpose of Bethlehem, and that's who the babe in the manger was. Let me say, everybody needs a daysman. Everybody needs a daysman. God, in the first place, needs a daysman. Brother Colson, stand right here, would you please? And let's see, Brother Moffitt, stand right here, would you please? I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10, and whoever is it gets to be, stand over here. Whoever is it gets to be God. Stand the same place he is, opposite. You going to make it, Roy? All right. It's a little hard for him to move that microphone stand. We may have said one of the sopranos come move it for him. Which one of you guys could do it? But anyway, you like that? I'm thinking of number between 1 and 10, and whoever gets closest to it is going to be God, the other is going to be man. What is it? What is it? It was 13, so you get it. All right. Most of you didn't catch that at all. So you're God. Because you look more like God. You don't look like a man, but I'll have to use your head. All right, we have God over here. Now, God created man was his best job. But God created man. He made man in his own likeness. The purpose for God creating man was that they might have fellowship one with the other. God made man to praise God. God didn't make you to eat, drink, be merry, and have fun. Bible says God created you for his own pleasure. If I understand that correctly, God didn't create you so you could have fun. He created you so he could have fun. So, but God must not make man a robot. God will not say to man, I'll force you to love me. Nobody wants that. If you folks are engaged or in love today, or folks are married, if you could inject the one you love with some kind of a serum that would force that one to love you, you would not do that. If you could make your wife love you, you would not want that. You want her to choose to love you. And God could not and would not make a little robot to say, I love you, God, I love you, God. He would not do that. So God made man and said to man, you can choose to love me and or not to love me. You can choose to follow me or not to follow me. You can choose to obey me or not to obey me. You have a choice in the matter. It'll be a cold day in Hades when I'll accept one whit of that doctrine that says God created some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. No, man who goes to heaven will go there because he chooses to go to heaven. And a man that goes to hell will go to hell because he chooses to go to hell or does not choose to go to heaven. So God said to man, you may choose to love me. Enter the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Enter Satan in the form of a serpent, tempting man. And the first thing he does is cast reflection on the Word of God. He says, God said, and then he changed the Word of God and came out with the SIV, Satan's Inspired Version. And he came out with that,
And he said, God hath not said. What God said is not true. And then he misquoted what God had said. And so man decided, are you listening? Man decided to choose the evil one rather than the righteous one. And because of that, man was alienated. If he, amen, if you sit up there, it helped me an awful lot. I need this microphone right here, please. So, okay, I'll keep this one. So, God and man are alienated. They're separated. Now, the thing about it is, God cannot take man back. Well, you say, why didn't God just say to Adam, come on home, Adam, all is forgiven. God could not do that. Because the Bible says, and the Bible is the eternal word of God, the soul that sinneth it shall die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the condemnation of death came upon man because man sinned. And God cannot take him back because God cannot stand the presence of sin. If God would take, in the old Edinburgh Scotland Review newspaper, it used to say, the judge is condemned when the guilty is acquitted. God cannot condemn an acquit man of his sin without sin being punished, or God would be condemned himself. And if God lets one single person come back to himself without his sin being paid for, God would not be God. The constellations of stars would get in confusion and disarray. The sun and moon would turn to blood, and the whole universe would become in disarray and confusion. Why? Because God would not be God. If God let anybody get saved because he got confirmed on Easter Sunday, God would not be God. If God let anybody get saved because he confessed his sins to a priest, God would not be God. If God let anybody get saved because it took the Holy Sacrament, God would not be God. Because God is just, and justice says the crime must be paid for. God needs a daysman. God needs a daysman. He cannot take him back. Enter the babe in the manger. He comes to earth. He tastes every pain that man tastes. He feels every hurt that man knows. Never sins. Lives a perfect life. Goes to Calvary. Pays the penalty for the sins of man. See, God could not save you without Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, the first thing he died for was for God. Yes, he died for man, but he died first. Let's suppose that man had wanted to come back to God, but there'd been no babe in the manger, or Christ on a cross. So man reaches his hand out to God. Reach it behind me. Just don't move, just reach your hand out. Reach your hand out to God. Keep it there. He wants God. But God cannot reach out and take his hand. Because if God reached out and took his hand, God would sin. He'd be letting crime go unpunished. The wages of sin would not be death. God's word would not be reliable. God could not take him back. Ah, but on the cross, God had a daysman. Jesus Christ went to Calvary. And he paid the penalty on the cross. And now then, because of that, God can hold his hand out to man. But they can't reach each other. Man cannot reach God. And God cannot reach man. Enter the babe in the manger. That's what salvation's all about. That's who that baby was. That's what that Christ child was. That's what was happening in the manger of Bethlehem. That's what Bethlehem's all about. That's what Silent Night, Holy Night means. That's what Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. But a long time before, and that song is not really scriptural, because he didn't come as a king. He came as a savior. He came as a savior. And the first thing he came for, God had to have a daysman. Job said, oh, that somebody could understand me. And Jesus comes to Job and says, Job, I understand you. I've lived where you live. You had no place to lay your head. I had no place to lay mine. You suffered unmercifully, I suffered unmercifully. You pained and had burdens, I pained and had burdens. Jesus says, I understand you, Job. And God, let me tell you about Job. It's tough down here. I'm down here. And I want you to understand the conditions of man. And I want you to understand the great heart of God. And so he became a daysman. God needed a daysman. That isn't all. Man needed a daysman also. Listen carefully to this. Man cannot save himself. And God the Father alone cannot save you. There must be a daysman. Now you say, but Brother Howell says, I see it. You haven't got any right to see it. Just read it. Modern theologian says, but this is the way I see it. Here's our reason, my mind. Quit reading your mind. Read the book. Man's got to have a daysman. And by the way, man, see, I'm the guilty one. Man is the guilty party. Yes, I cannot plan reconciliation. The guilty cannot plan his own reconciliation. All he can do is beg mercy from the offended. See, look at this carefully now. Here's where many of you are. Jesus comes as the daysman for God and extends his hand to God. And now then, God is satisfied through Jesus. And God has his daysman. Now, here's what's happening to many of you. God has been satisfied. The daysman is here. He says, reach out and take me. And you'll be reconciled to God. Join the church? No. Be baptized? No. Take communion? No. Baptize the baby? No. Just reach out and take me. And there you sit this morning, just like he is right now. I've got some good news, folks. God has been provided a daysman. Hey, God can take you back now. There's a way home for you. You can be restored to God, but not by your church, and not by your ordinances, and not by your pope, and not by your rabbi, and not by your priest, and not by your sacrament, but by the daysman. Enter the babe in the manger. If you'll do this morning, I'm Jesus, man. I have been to God and satisfied the holiness of God. If you'll be willing to accept me as your Savior, I can have you and God reconciled to each other. Would you do it? Would you? Would you do that this morning? You've never taken the Savior, but you say, Brother Hiles, my pastor told me I have to get live a good life. Forget your pastor, read the Bible. Jesus did not come in Bethlehem so we could have Frenchman would love the Englishman. Though he wants the Frenchman to love the Englishman. He didn't come in Bethlehem to satisfy, solve all of our race problems, though he wants to do that. He came in Bethlehem because here is a God and here is a man who are estranged from each other, and God cannot take man back unless there's a daysman. And Jesus went to Calvary as the perfect Son of God and paid the price so God and died for God so God could wake up God. So God could be satisfied. So Jesus could turn to man. By the way, Jesus could not take man like this. That won't do it. That's not enough. That means you take Jesus as not the virgin-born Son of God, and you'll die and go to hell. But Jesus, who's not virgin-born, won't save you because God does not hold it. Because God does not teach God the Bible here. Because that Savior can't save you. He won't satisfy God. The Jesus that was not a perfect man cannot save you because it can't satisfy God. But the perfect Savior, who became God's daysman, turns man and becomes man's daysman and brings man and God back together. Thirdly, God needed a daysman. Man needed a daysman. The saint needs a daysman. The saint needs a daysman. You say, wait a minute, I'm already saved. I've already accepted Christ. I've been reconciled to God through Christ.
But you still need a daysman. Hey, Job was saved too.
Job said, here I sit in the ash heap. Nobody understands me. Nobody's ever been here before. Show me somebody, he said, who's lost all 10 of his kids. Show me somebody who's lost all of his wealth and his kids. Show me somebody who's lost his kids and his wealth and his health is now leprous. Show me somebody who has leprosy and lost all his kids and lost all his wealth and now his wife has forsaken him. Show me somebody whose wife has forsaken him, has lost his health and his wealth and his kids. Show me somebody whose friends have forsaken him and wife has forsaken him and lost his health, his wealth and his... Show me! All he said is somebody! Is somebody! You understand me?
Explain all this to me. And then if somebody could reach out and touch the hand of God. I wish I had somebody like that.
Hang on, Job, he's on the way.
Enter the babe in the manger. Man suffers. This man right here, Roy Moffitt, been through an awful lot of suffering and heartache in the last few years. And he says, I wish somebody understood. I try to understand, and Roy knows I do. But I can't completely understand. I've never been through exactly what you've been through, Roy. Nor you what I've been through. Nobody. But all of us wish somebody had. May I say this parenthetically? That may be why I like to have Dr. Robertson preach for me. His church was never as big as this one, but it was the biggest church in America at one time. And maybe he's the only man in America that can really understand the load I carry. Nobody else can. But he cannot. Enter Jesus. He comes. He lives for 33 years. Every temptation I have, he had. Every burden I carry, he had. Every trial I have, he had. Jesus can come to Job and say, Job, I stand. I've been there. Isn't that a wonderful Savior? You need somebody to understand. Reach out and take your hand and say, I understand, Job. Reach out to God and say, God, you help old Job. Be close to Job. Keep on providing for Job. You understand what Job's been through. You've never been there. But the Savior of the world came and tasted what man has tasted and suffered what man has suffered and reaches out to God and says, I understand God, and reaches to man and says, I understand man. And the sinner had a daysman. But thank God, the saint also has a daysman. But wait a minute. The Savior needs a daysman. What? The Savior needs a daysman? He is the daysman. Yeah, the daysman needs a daysman. May I explain to you why? Because the Savior is the one who made the plan, carried out the plan, made the Trinity that could restore man to God. So the Savior, our daysman, dies on the cross. 72 hours later, rises from the grave. Sends back to heaven to intercede for us and continue being our daysman. And he says, I've got a wonderful story to tell man. I've got a wonderful story to tell man. The story how he can be restored to God. I'm the daysman. I want to tell man how that I have satisfied the justice of God and have offered him salvation and have brought them back together. I want to tell man that. But the Savior says, I can't. He calls his disciples up on a mountain and says, would you do it for me? Would you be my daysman?
You call that soul winning. And all that soul winning is the basement being provided, the basement. Let me tell you something, folks. If my Savior could come in the manger and live for 33 homesick years away from the Father in His fellowship with the Father, could sleep on the mountainside in the storms of the Judean hills, even birds had better places to rest at night. Even foxes had more comfortable accommodations at night. If my Savior could spend 33 years and suffer not, listen carefully, in His life, He suffered all of our pain. In His death, He suffered all of our sins. If Jesus, as I hold out my hand to God as a man, and God holds His hand, but we can't reach each other as they do right now. They want to hold reach each other. Man wants God, and God wants man. But man cannot reach to God, and God cannot reach to man. And the maid of Bethlehem comes and is born a virgin, lives a perfect life, bears my pain, bears my suffering, and pays the price for my redemption. And reach out to a God and say, God, I've satisfied you. And reach out to a man and say, man, I've satisfied the demands of God. You may now be restored to each other. If Jesus will do that for me, I can dead sure talk to the fellow beside me on the airplane. Because Jesus can't be on the airplane. He needs the basement. He needs somebody to tell the story. The daysman needs the daysman. Something else he needs the daysman for, too. Jesus can't comfort this morning, but I can comfort for him. Jesus cannot lift the fallen by himself today. I can lift them for him. Jesus cannot feed a hungry family at Christmas time, but I can feed them for him. I'm his daysman. I'm his go-between. The Father needed the daysman. Enter the babe in the manger. The sinner needed the daysman. Enter the babe in the manger. The saint needed the daysman. Enter the babe in the manger. And now the babe in the manger needs the daysman. Are you going to enter? Our Heavenly Father.
Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 19th.